Hello and welcome to episode 48 of Caithin's Craft Collective. I'm Louise and this episode is the Burns Night Supper Special. I've got the winner of the prize from Luca.yarn. I've got a review of Martha Stewart's Encyclopedia of Crafts. The Damson Shawl knit-along idea seems to be taken off amazingly. And the Mamie Me Show. And then the drams, this episode, get your bottle of famous grouse. All the links are in the show notes that come from where you download this from, so relax and get your links later on. I'm sponsoring this from my own business, Energy Hunt Limited, www.energyhunt.com, for Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering services. Get your cup of tea, your craft, and I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week. Away and sit in for a blather.
No for the blather.
This week it's about Burns. I was tempted to call this one Mr. Burns and get Sandy to describe the Yellow Peril from The Simpsons. However, no, this is of course Robbie Burns. He was a mister. He ended up a sheriff. But I don't think he was ever yellow. Robert Burns is the national poet of Scotland. He was born on the 25th of January in 1759 in Alloa, which is southwest of Scotland. He had a bit of a hard life, as was the time, and I think he was a bit of a ladies' man. He kind of got into a bit of lady trouble about 1786, when he decided to skip town to the West Indies. To raise the money for the passage, he got his selection of poems published. There were success, and so he stayed in Scotland and carried on publishing and wrote one of the most famous songs in the world. You were all singing it not 4 weeks ago. Yep, Auld Lang Syne, how can you forget? He also wrote Address to a Haggis, which will be read by me in due course. Sadly, Robbie Burns died young, at age 37, with poor health. And he wrote hundreds and hundreds of poems and songs we celebrate him for today. In Scotland, we celebrate his birthday with a Burns Supper. Well, lovely listeners, you are listening to this here Scott, so I invite you into the second annual Caithin's Craft Collective Burns Supper. So, I see you've all got your plaid and your tartan on. You'll be needing your winty woolies on, because it's pretty cold here in Caithness tonight. My Martine in shiny shoes, I am loving your damask shawls. But come away in, we're at the May Hall again, so you can all fit this time. I've got the bairns up this time, I've got them all up the top table. Sandy's awful handsome in his little kilt. Daisy is sporting a wee Highland dance outfit. Come out of the cold, catch up everyone. I mean, you've not seen each other in 3 weeks. Maybe four. We can talk about my pie shawl. A lot. You're spinning. A bit. Knitting, crafting, and the damson knit-along coming up. This part is called the gathering. Cheryl and Trine up the top, I've got things for you. Rightio, thank you all for coming along tonight. There are a few more faces here this year, and it's lovely to see you all. MDNX and Dr. Molly, I'm talking to you. Please, everyone, take your seats. Dear Daisy Frog, this is Hobbycraft. You're sitting with me. Mad Mum, Molly Makes, Billy Piper, sit over here. Crochet Star, Sandrada and Fanada over there. Men, remember and stick your sporran in the middle. You're not wearing a skirt, you know, and my mother is here tonight. Plus, I know a few ladies who like the thought of what you are not wearing under your kilt. Easy, Cheryl. Whisht, you lot up the back. Yep, you, Jan Marie, and you, Ivy Fox, I'm talking to you. Now, you're all seated. I will say grace. Some hae meat and canna eat, as some would eat that want it. But we hae meat and we can eat, say let the Lord be thankit. And now you get to have your soup. Now you have a choice of cock-a-leeky soup, well that's chicken and leek soup, think about it, or Cullen skink, which is rich creamy smoked haddock soup, or a scotch broth, which is made from barley, and you can even have tatty soup, which is made with potato. The vegans, the vegetarians amongst you, there's plenty of choice. The broth or the tatty have special versions. You could have the first one, but it would have to be leeky soup. There's just no enough comedy in that. Once you've lashed the soup down, we go on to the parade of the haggis. Please be upstanding for Paula of Knitting Pipeline, who has kindly offered this time to pipe in the haggis. Last year we made her.
Hello, Paula.
So the chef carrying in the haggis follows the piper, playing Bros and Butter, or some other appropriate tune, in more or less dignified procession through the hall, having to stop tripping over spindles and spinning wheels, you know. The chef lays the haggis on its groaning trencher before me at the high table. I did think about having Hubby do this, but oh, he's a bit shy, and you know I'm not. However, He did choose this dram that we insist you now charge your glasses with, the famous grouse. Of course, we have to give Paula a dram. It says so in the Burns Night instructions. For everyone else, there's a choice of a famous grouse, or whatever you want. Mum's in the coffee if anyone wishes to join her. Now I get to get my great big haggis cut and open knife out here. I'm actually going to use hubby's skein too. I'll wipe it before I put it back, or I'll be hand washing those kilt socks again. Now, I'll give you the bard's finest verse. Addressed to the haggis. Fair fay your honest sonsy face, great chieftain of the puddin' race. Aboon them a' yet tak your place, panch, tripe or tharum. Weel are ye worthy o' a grace as lang's my arm. The groaning trencher there ye fill, your hurdy's like a distant hill. Your pin was helped to mend a mill in time o' need, while through your pores the dews distill like amber bead. His knife see rustic labour dicht, and cut you up with ready slight, trenching your gushing entrails bright like ony ditch. And then, oh, a glorious sight, warm, reeking, rich. Then horn for horn they stretch and strive, deal teak the hindmost on the drive, till all their wheel-swalled kites be live, or bent like drums. Then old goodman maced like to rive, Bethan kit hums. Is there o'er his French ragout, or ollie that would stas sue, or fricassee wad make her spew with perfect scorner, looks doon with sneering scornful few in sick a dinner. Poor devil, see him o'er his trash, as feckles as withered rash, his spindle shank a good whiplash, his knave a knit, through bloody flood or field to dash, oh how unfit. But mark the rustic haggis fade, the trembling earth resounds his tread, clap in his waly knave a blade, he'll mark it whistle, and arms and legs and hands will snade like taps o' a trissel. Ye powers, wha make mankind your care, and dish them out or bill of fare, ill Scotland wants nae stinking ware that japs and luggies, but if you wish her grateful prayer, gie her a haggis. Will ye all raise your glasses to toast the haggis? Slan java. I know I haven't got a clue what half of that means either. At this point, the haggis goes off with a catering staff whom dish it out to all of you. I gave Laura Gisson and Coggy the night off this time. I got paid staff in. Now, this here beastie was hunted down by my very own husband, who had to bag 4 of the wonky-legged critters to feed you all tonight. They say that haggis have 2 legs shorter than the other, so they can run around the hills easier. And as for you non-meat eaters, we have provided vegan haggis. I checked the McSween ones in Tesco's especially for you. A McSween haggis is the most famous one I can think of. It's from McSween of Edinburgh and mighty tasty. Most butcher shops in Scotland have their own recipe. Tonight you'll be having your haggis with clapshot. Clapshot is mashed together, tatties and swede. I have also laid on a bit of greenery, peas and broccoli and spring greens, you know, a bit of a health kick. Now, some people pour their dram into their haggis, but I prefer mine with tomato sauce and a dash of Worcester sauce. The haggis, not the dram. I also found recently that a dash of HP barbecue sauce was rather nice on it too. You're not supposed to do this. Here, it's my haggis. And I've still not given back the ski and do. And I've had a dram. Aye? Yeah. Once you've filled your face full of haggis, Sarah Togan Knitting and Sarah Monty, have you had enough? There's plenty more. No, you're done. Right, we can move on to the dessert. Well, it has to be either a clouty dumpling, cranachin or bramble pudding. The clouty is a cake which is boiled in a cloth, and the cloth is called the clout, or clouty. It's mighty nice with a wee bit of custard or cream. The cranachin is a raspberry oatmeal cream, and it's got runny honey and more whiskey. And then, of course, the bramble pudding is wild blackberries with a sponge topping. Come on, get into it. You've all got a long night ahead of ye. We've got to drink a few more drams yet. I don't think much of Scotland's traditional recipes are really all that healthy. The soup and the pudding is full of cream and the haggis is full of haggis. But they're well tasty once a year, they'll not harm you. And you've all been on your New Year's diet anyway. That's quite enough of that now. You're really all just as beautiful as you are. Now you, Oxy Run and Scrappy Doo, there's plenty of it. So help yourself to seconds, or thirds or fourths, even if you need it. And if that's now quite enough, when the coffees and tea come out, there's an Orkney oat cake with some fine Orkney cheddar. Oi, AC Leff, there's plenty. So stop nicking Giffnet Girl's cheese. You all done your dinner? Well, let's get that cleared away and get the drams out for the next section, where there will be some more recitals of Rabbi Burns stuff. Expect you'll all get your knitting out. Oh, isn't that nice? Sarge is carrying around corgis and he's sporing. Socks on size 2 DPNs fit just perfect in his sporing. It's a fine sporing. He's sporting too. Now, we'll have a few readings and there will be a toast to the lassies from Hubby. This toast should be a light-hearted lampoon of the lassies' few shortcomings. That's what it says in the instructions. And there's a warning, dearest husband. Your audience all have sharp, pointy sticks and they're not afraid to use them. Especially that bio Betty. She's from Texas. And she just happens to be sitting beside Amanda from Treacle and Ink. Together they're, ooh, lethal. Then we have the reply from the lassies. I nominate Susan Dolph. She'll sort them out. As it has to be done with grace, charm and wit. And this savaging of the lads' crude dispositions and social inferiority is always accepted with good humour in the menfolk present. Come on, David Reedy. London Sam. Yep, that includes you. Then we move on to the Tam O'Shanter reading. I will link to this on account of it being a million pages long, and my Podbean subscription is just not that big. It's about a drunk guy coming home from the pub in the dark and his horse sees witches and ooh, scary story, la da 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 da. Dunderheed, you may need your cape for this one. Oh, Glamsmitten, you may join her too. Gonna liven it up now as I've invited Mark Gunn and Ian Sinclair's band's back and we had a great time at Hogmanay. Plus Mark's looking for one of his kilt socks that he misplaced. Looking over my glasses at kvs.vart, who all of a sudden has taken a great interest in Good Girl Saturday's project. Funny that. Right, let's have a bit of a Kaylee now. You, of course, remember what to do, and Sandy can show you what to. Any new listeners, just grab a kilted man and let him lead. Kilted men, watch Paula and her hubby. Experts, I tell you now. Yet again, we party to the wee small hours. My bairns get to stay up well past their bedtime, but we all hear snoring about 10 o'clock. I put little Daisy to bed. I thank you one and all for coming to this Burns supper. May you know more about Scottishness, enjoyed your haggis and had a good old chinwag whilst knitting up a storm. Thank you to the lovely Paula for playing her pipes, Hobby for the toast, Susan for the reply, and well done, you shot them down well in flames. Can you all stand up now for one last jump? dance around to Auld Lang Syne. Snuggle on, everyone. Neil's Nana, Yarn Salad, Yorkshire Tea Cozy. Oh, and especially the electric sheep. You can come out now. Your stomach is no longer required. Oh, and you'll all get home with two new tea towels tonight. One all about Rabbi Burns stuff and the other one with Scottish recipes on. Save you, Coggy, because you've already got it. You're getting a man with a kilt. And if that's not enough partying, get your sea legs on because we're going to Shetland next Tuesday for Uphelia. Did you enjoy that? If you need a pee now, stop because it's time for the Daisy laugh. Can you do some giggling? Yeah. A Sandy hello to new group members.
Hello.
Lexi Balls, who found me by trolling iTunes and has left me a lovely review. Thank you, Lexi Balls. JC Randall, Tracy C611, Canyon Rain 2, Can Knit Will Knit, that's a good name, Busy Lizzie, MF, H Reed, Dres Dam Indor, and Sally from Idaho. I'm sorry, I'm really not doing any of your names justice tonight, but thank you for the lovely messages.
Hello.
And I am enjoying looking at your projects, so if you're feeling anybody looking over your shoulder, hi, it's me. The blathering is going on very well. I don't always reply, but I'm quite impressed with how much blathering is going on. I'd say we've already done the random hollows this week. On to what's a crack.
What's the e-crack section?
Now, my random Sandy generator has pulled out...
The winner is Eleanor Lan.
...for winning the prize from Art Yarn by Luca Dot Yarn of an Art Yarn Kit. It's some prize, so I'll message you for your address in a few days, just to give you a chance to hear your name and scream, that's me, I've won something! Oh, let you be on a bus. That would be really funny. Congratulations to you, Eleanor. I'm sorry, everybody else can't all be winners. Thank you so much to Luca Dot Yarn, and please, everyone, please go and marvel at the art yarn, even if you don't go Bye, go look and support our playful friend. Oh, sorry, wrong podcast. Which laugh leads me on to, have you seen the comedy programme Mrs. Brown's Boys? I am loving it just now. It's worth taking a look at if you ever like Father Ted. They film it in front of a studio audience and they interact with them. It is comedy genius. I bought a couple of magazines at the end of last week. If you saw me on Twitter, I was bemoaning the fact that I'd had a hard week last week. One that ended with me getting two fillings from the dentist. However, the hard work was worth it because we passed the DNV accredited audit to be triple certified to international QHSE standards, ISO 9001, ISO 14001, OHSAS 18001. So it ended up being a good week after all. And the magazines I bought were So, as an SEW magazine, and Quiltmakers 100 Blocks. I had bought the So magazine before. I quite like the approach it has to dressmaking. I only buy it if I think I'll ever make the cover pattern. And this time I was thinking, oh, that's quite nice, a dress and a jacket combination. Gets it home, all excited, and then reads, this pattern is in size 14 to 22. If you require a smaller pattern, please go onto our website address here. I don't think I'd have bought it if I'd realised that, so beware. I have been onto the said website and ordered it up, so we'll see when it comes. Now, the rest of the magazine is quite nice, though. And the 100 Quiltmakers Blocks is a collector's item with 100 ideas. Plus, it comes with the pattern sheets inside, so I think that £4.25 makes it 4 pence a pattern. It's four... That better be right, otherwise you lot are all going to be laughing at me. It's focused on winter patterns, so there's quite a few Santas and penguins. We're all done with them now, but there's plenty more traditional blocks in there. And what's likely going to happen is I borrow it to Mum and leave it there, and when I want it, I'll get it back. Still time to make your wool sack for this year's Olympics Games contestants, so www.woolsack.org for more information. Dr. Gemma has well kicked off the Mother Bear appeal this year. Please go to Cognitive for more details. It seems more pertinent stateside than here, to be honest, but both very worthy causes if you fancy a bit of unselfish knitting. I'm still planning on going to Glasgow on the 10th of March. We're driving down on the 9th and we're going to the SECC in the morning of the 10th. Go for a bit of shopping in Buchanan Galleries in the afternoon. So this is an invitation to any of my South of Scotland listeners who want to meet up at some point. Please let me know. The Damson Knit Along. Now there's a few of you who have shown an interest in knitting along with Trine and I on the Damson Shawl by Isolde Teague. And this is from the Whimsical Little Knits 2 book. She's about finished her Whimsical Little Knits 3, you know. I saw it on Twitter and I'm looking forward to it. We've got a wee thread set up for all Damson chat on the Ravelry group. No pressure. If you do it, it's cool. If you don't worry. Don't stress yourself out about it. But I'll probably talk about it because it's what I've been knitting. I'm actually going to be using a Malabrigo sock weight. I've actually gone for what the pattern requires because it's what I have in my stash. I did try to spin up the alpaca thin enough, but no. Nowhere near enough meterage. And somebody said that it does actually require the whole meterage. I wasn't all that impressed with my Malabrigo. This is the one that I bought when I was in Loop London as a special treat. And because everybody says, oh, Malabrigo this, oh, Malabrigo that. I used my ball winder and then I looked and I had blue hands. And plus, mine is not fully saturated throughout the yarn. I can see white through it. It's not really what I was looking for when you spend that much money on a ball of wool. So, I'll see how it knits up and let you know. But it could just be that one that I got. Indigo apparently is not so good at setting. However, other people don't seem to have this problem. Not better and twisted about it or anything, no. Anyway, right, fabric postcards. I'd like to get some more fabric postcards on the go again. I realised how much I liked the nice post when Christmas cards stopped. And then it was bills or nothing, which is rubbish. Well, except the day that the box came from Roseville, Minnesota. Thank you so much to Laurie. Daisy and I hugged the letter, and the box, and the contents. Laurie was busy. She's made us little box bags with handles on. She then put paper tissue cushion boxes in with tissues in them and the bairns got some toys. Now I laughed because Daisy was helping me open the box and I said, oh, what do you think's in this? Thinking to myself, oh, yarny goodness. And she goes, toys. And in her bag there was a toy elephant and in Sandy's there was a wee rake of die-cast cars and a petrol pump. case they need topped up, of course. And there was crocheted coasters. Sandy's was in green, because that's his favourite colour. And how wonderful was that? Because Laurie knew that as well. Now, I've dropped the craft fairy section for a bit, I think, because I decided it was nice to thank everyone for everything, but I was sounding like, what's Greedy Louise doing now? I can bring her back if you get something nice or you need a subliminal message sent out. Speaking of which, subliminal message to the Falling Sheep's husband. Thank you very much for the Knit Pro needle set, the Falling Sheep Coat, for Christmas. Well done you. She'll be happy. You'll be happy, because she's happy. Message me back what you want to send her subliminally. She told you to get that in return. And you're back in the room. Oh, fabric postcards. I will have a thread for this year's swap. It's nice to get nice posts, isn't it? It doesn't have to be fancy, not even fabric swap. But let's get some nice posts sent. There's a few of you that I've made postcard for, but not yet posted. If you're interested, please get in touch and I'll arrange a bit of a swap-a-thon. Fabric postcards aren't hard. They're just wee bits of material left over, sewn or generally stuck, onto a postcard-sized piece of card or backing or whatever technique used is described for the receiver. Kind of like you're sending her a technique in the post and you describe what it is.
The review section.
The review section. On to Martha Stewart's Encyclopedia of Craft, published by David and Charles. It retails in at £19.99 and it's hardback and there's 416 pages in this big bad boy. It's quite a big size as well. It's A to Z and it has 32 different techniques and projects, and then it has the tools, equipment, basic techniques, templates, sources and the usual sort of accreditation. Now, most of you will have heard of Martha Stewart. Some of you have this book. Martine has this book. Martha is a very stylized author and the presenter of the Martha Stewart Show. She's got a very distinct style, and I think it's quite easy to pick out a Martha Stewart design from the crowd. Some of you like her, and I thought she was a bit too presented, too immaculate to be a proper crafter. When I think of crafters, paint their hands, spend all their money on crafty things than their appearance. Sort of, apart from Cheryl, because she's always posh looking. Then Martha is loaded, so she can afford it. I don't know if Cheryl's loaded or not. If she is, good for her. Right, back to the book. There are some lovely techniques in here. Not necessarily the most in-depth description of each craft, but enough to give you a good taste, and if you really like it, then you can go and get something more detailed. I quite like the design of the book. The inside, front and back covers have marbled paper in green. And one of the techniques from the book, which is certainly worth trying if you've never tried it, is marbling. The photographs of all the projects are clear, and some have the finished piece of craft in its place in the world, such as, well, I had painting on china. There's a set of polka dot china plates wrapped with ribbon. Oh, hold on. You know, saying china plates wrapped in ribbon, you have to put them in a big padded box, Martha, or smashity smash. Okay, bad example. Let's try the crepe paper, paper flowers and birds. I like the snowdrops which she has planted on the top of a lovely looking chocolate cake. It's perfect for this time of year. She shows you how to actually make the paper flowers, and I'd say the instructions are pretty clear and seem to be quite easy to follow. And at the back of the book, the tools are the materials very well set out, with a photograph of each piece used in the book and a wee description of the item. The basic techniques part is a bit scanty, but the templates part is not. And the source section is heavily weighted towards Martha's own range of crafty tools, which is fair enough because it's her book. And I note that this book has all UK suppliers, so I'm assuming that this, along with the fact that it says www.rucrafts.co.uk, which is Reader's Union to you and me, is UK based and aimed at this book. I then looked at the small print in the front where it says originally published in the USA by Pottercraft. But, you know, I think that's absolutely wonderful. I like crafty books, and how often have you been looking at a craft book and think, oh, that's nice, I'd like to make that. And then you find out that the source is in another country and it would cost a fortune to import it because you've got no idea where you can get in your own country without a lot of legwork. And plus, this supports my own country shop. So, if you're into lots of different types of craft and are always looking for new inspiration in crafts, I would recommend giving this book a look. £19.99 is pretty good value for money, especially when you get it out of the library like I did. That's Martha Stewart's Encyclopedia of Crafts by David and Charles.
I buy books, I never read, and then I tell you some more about me.
Now for the Me Show, because it's all about me. I finished The Shawl Collar Vest, hey hey, by Jennifer Miller, and with some chunky yarn I got from Tate and Style in Orkney. And I was well pleased with it. Hobby said, "Oh, it looks like a real professional garment." And they realised what he said. Yes, I gave him the folding of the arms. I didn't quite make it to the tapping of the feet. But it was a pretty quick knit. For me, 2 or 3 weeks, which is good for me. It's chunky yarn on size 8mm needles. And it's in different versions of rib stitch. So it starts, I think, with 4, then it goes to 2, and then it goes to 1. And I was a bit confused with the instructions when you turn the work and pick up from the cast on edge. I picked up down the side and I thought, well, can I get 62 stitches out of that? First of all, I've got the maths wrong. Yeah. Stop laughing at me. And then I read the pattern and the penny dropped. Ah! So apart from that fact, I love this. I love turtles. It's fast to knit up. It's trendy just now. And apart from me felting it slightly yesterday, I can see how it'd been a part of my work in casual wardrobe. You've never noticed that, that's fine. It's quite like something our Sarah has, but it's not what I thought I was knitting. I had wanted a waistcoat or a gilet, and this pattern came up for the amount of yardage that I had. And also, I thought my yarn was acrylic, because it didn't have a label, and it had a sheen running through it. Well, the non-sheeny bit is felty. It still fits, but maybe not quite as well as the unfelted as before. What a muppet. I have spun up the alpacas into singles, and I did try the open source shawl by Lisa Rizager from Artemis Adornments, which is a wonderful recipe for shawls of any yarn. But she does say that you have to fudge it and it's in the chart. And I think this is where I went wrong. I was knitting away quite a thing, loving the alpaca, albeit kind of bumpy and rustic looking. I think that's what you call it when you think it's not that great. And then I wondered, why am I not increasing? I read that bit, but it was below the lace suggestion, not inside the lace suggestion. Oh, I got myself in a rave and I took it all out. And I would like to make this, but I just don't quite understand it. I'll maybe go back to it. And also, I'm struggling with the spinning to get it fine enough for fingering weight, or, well, I just seem to be overspinning everything. I changed my belt on my Ash for Joy. I slowed down to work it from my hands better, but I'm just not that good at it. Although, I did like my jumper flyer. It is a joy. I can't believe I've written that down. Anyway. Oh, I've been up to other things. Warning for Treen. Warning for Treen. This is for the next spot I'm doing for Treen. So stop listening for a few minutes, Treen. Which we have agreed to do a Valentine's theme for. So Treen, skip a few minutes. Is she gone? Yeah. Right. Well, I bought a wee wooden box with a love heart and cupcake on it. And I filled it with some Orkney fudge. And I've knitted a few wee hearts for my stash, and it's Red Sea from Space Wool. Is that bright? And I filled them with lavender, and I'm trying to find a button to sew onto them. I've seen a lovely heart bunting pattern in a crochet called Granny Heart Bunting by Sandra Paul of Cherry Tree. I then detangled and wound the Pink Sea from Space, Cochineal Dyed by Me yarn that we did last year with Vimto Craft Group. And I have plans of making a pink cushion cover for a felted, on purpose this time, pink blanket. However, my sewing machine took the huff yesterday because it just would not get the tension right. I showed it the hammer and it's now upstairs thinking about itself. Also, I have a wee blank spiral bound notebook that I am cross stitching a heart onto a piece of fabric paper. That's kind of like plastic canvas, but more paper than fabric or plastic. It's fabric paper. And then I'm going to cut out and stick it on the front of the notebook. I think that's about all it. Right, Treen, you can listen again. Oh yeah, you have a nice cup of tea. On to the textile artist side of things. Now, I'm missing the next day due to going to Aberdeen for the Offshore Wind and Supply Chain Conference and Exhibition. I have been promised a day shopping. Hello, Hobbycraft. Hello, this is Louise, and I'm But I'm missing out on textiles. Oh, now, wait till I apologise for calling Jean Littlejohn Jean Littlewood. What a muppet. I don't know how I did that, on account of looking up the book on Amazon and www.doubletrouble-ent.com website. And I didn't do it just once, I did it quite a lot. The link was right, but the name was not. It's a good job that I own an Alex to point out these things. Now, dear Alex, this is Quilting Arts. I need you to have me. Snigger. That's what it says in my script. Oh, here. I'm doing a Billy Connolly conversation. That's where he starts something, goes off three tangents, and punchlines you with something from the start. So, I'm not going to textile artist, but I have come up with a project from this year. Now, that was the point. I have decided to take a photograph of the wee hilly bit, or bank, at the back of my garden that leads down to the harbour. Hobby wants to put chickens on. No chickens will ever get put there. And I'm going to take a photograph once a month. This photo, I'm going to do a monthly project from the inspiration of the DVD that we watched last time. And the first one, of course, is January, because it's still January here. And the vegetation is pretty dead. Well, it's hibernating, to be truthful. There are shoots coming through. And I'm thinking of doing maybe a foil technique. So that's going to be next episode's textile technique foiling. Can you mind me on? Because I've not got a great memory. You know that. And that was me. Now on to the drams, where we have the famous grouse with my husband. Apologies for the poor sound last episode. Alex suggests I don't do that again. I mean, you're right enough. It was a spur-of-the-moment thing, and I don't have a quality roaming out and about sound equipment, so no more rubbish sound. Back to the drams. And there's no more after this, so if the dram's not your thing, thanks for listening, and speak to you next episode. But if it is, here you go.
My drumming, my drumming, my drumming, my drumming, my hope you like drumming too.
Hello. This time we're doing the famous grouse blended Scotch whiskey.
Turkey.
Yes, he'll come on to that. It did not come with a container on account of how much did it cost?
About half the price of a malt.
Because it's a blend.
Cooking whiskey.
Yes, but it is the cooking whiskey of choice, I would expect.
The best of the blends.
Yes, and we have quite a nice slim looking bottle. It's a whiskey bottle, is what you would think. It's got a bonny picture of a grouse, hence it's named after, which is a bonny red birdie that lives in Scotland. Well, it says in the back, you may be interested to know that the famous grouse is named after the red grouse, Scotland's national game bird, and that its smooth taste comes from blending fine malt whiskies, including the Macallan and Highland Park, and some sweet grain whiskies. But as for the true secrets of Scotland's favourite whisky, well, that would be telling. Enjoy responsibly. And we've got 40% volume of, so we've got 0.7 of a litre. You do get litre bottles and you get half litres, but this is the one we have. And it has a, by appointment of to Her Majesty the Queen, she must quite like this one because it means she drinks it. And it is comes from Matthew Glogan's son, Perth, Scotland. I think that's about all I've got to say.
We see how we acquired this bottle and what it was acquired for when we were first footing.
Oh, yeah.
With a lump of coal.
Tell then.
We were first footing at our friends Adam and Mary Innes, who live about 20 miles to the west of us. And we drove out there. Louise drove back because she wasn't drinking. And we went there with a lump of coal and the bottle, which got opened, but we didn't actually drink that much of it because there was lots of other bottles getting passed round. So we had a good chat with some fine folk, farmery folk, and a bit of crack, and then we came home.
Yeah, he had a White Mackay, and the other chill had another bottle of the famous grouse, so it's a good first food and whisky. So we're not going to open it originally because there's a dram taken out of it, but this is how it sounds. That's rubbish. That's a screw top. Now, we'll do the glug, because I know you like the glug.
That's a fine glug. Right, so, colour?
Colour?
Golden, like honey. Oh, look at that. Oh.
Right, so we're looking at the colour of it up against the light, and it looks like gold.
Gold.
And honey. And it's swirling round and round the glass, and how quick is it falling?
Oh, it's pretty quick, actually. It's taking its time now, no.
Well, that'll be the Highland Park part of it. The Macallan's obviously just fallen straight to the glass.
Don't let it evaporate now.
Right. Now we have a sniff.
Sweet.
Whiskey.
Oh, it's beautiful.
That smells like what I think whiskey should smell like. I don't know whether it's just because it's one of the most common whiskies. Certainly in our house it is.
And then drop your water.
We drop your water to take out some of the alcohol content so that you enjoy it more responsibly. I've got a lot of water in mine. Right, Slange.
Slange, you're up.
It's sweet.
It's lovely. It's not too smoky.
It's not too,
too
strong either.
Either,
no.
No, it's fine. It evokes lots and lots of memories from adolescence.
From times of yore. Oh, now whilst we are drinking this, we should actually tell you that outside just now, the Northern Lights is on, the Aurora Borealis. So we were very fortunate to go
and see. And to make a point that we seen it before we drank the whiskey.
Yes.
So it's not in our own heads.
No, they've been tweeted quite a lot.
They've been seen across the whole of the north of the UK, as far down as Newcastle.
Yeah. And I said hello to it, and I also said hello to it for all of you who have never seen it, because I know that you like me to talk about it.
It's a special thing.
Yeah. And there's a big black cloud above Orkney just now, but it sort of shone through, and it was just that bit lighter in the sky. And at first I thought, is that actually on or not? And then a green line went across the sky, and it just, it's very slow that it does it, and it twinkles in certain places, and yeah, but it was definitely on. Anyway, back to the whiskey. Do you want to tell us about the turkey?
It gets called turkey by the connoisseurs who like a wee dravy.
Is it its pet name?
It's its pet name. It's,
oh,
it's
nice.
It's nickname. I don't know, it's, what do you call it, moniker?
Yeah. Well, you've got Highland Park called HP Sauce. And
the grouse is called turkey.
So we also think that we should try the Macallan.
Yeah, it's the best of the best of the cooking whiskies.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really like your Alco Pops of whiskey.
Well, it was established in 1800, so I think he's had plenty of time to develop this.
No, it's a fine blend.
Why do they do blends? Is it because
they
take
all the offs of all the other bits and pieces and blend it together to make what is typically your favourite taste in whiskey?
So how can they make it taste the same if they've got different bits of offs?
Well, different malts have different flavours and tastes. So to get the taste of that, you have to have a certain percentage of different malts in it and whatever other bits. They've probably got a lump of ham or something rotting away in it just to give it a wee bit extra special flavour. They do that with cider, you know.
For the tape, I don't know whether we should condone that kind of behaviour. I'm sure the ham
was very dead when you put it in, I would imagine. Or it would have died happy.
Why is it your favourite whisky?
Because it's a nice, smooth drink, and it's not the most expensive whisky, but it's certainly, I would consider, the best of the blends. It's got lots of memories, and I've not been a massive drinker of whisky when I was younger, but it was always the one I went to if there was only whisky on the go.
It's quite accessible, isn't it?
It's nice. You can have it with a bit of ice cube in it, or you can have it with a wee drop of water. It's a nice sociable drink to have, and especially when we went round and seen our friends on New Year's Day or just after, and it was great. It was just flowing, and the crack was good, and it's all different age groups. So it was a good, fine companion drink.
Would you say that whisky was quite an old person's drink, or not?
I would say it's an old person's drink, but it's not really... It's drunk by young folk, but not in the kind of trendy set. It's not a trendy drink.
Right, so is there anything else to be said about the famous grouse whisky?
Just drink responsibly.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, like that. Slange
your bar. Slange your bar. Thank you, bar.
The blah, blah, blah section.
Blah, blah, blah bit. And that's me. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you are all in good health, and if not, fatal. You can download me from Podbean and iTunes. All reviews gratefully welcome. If you do leave a comment on Podbean, it won't appear instantly. You've not done anything wrong. I've just got lots and lots of spam, so I've changed it to moderate it. And this bit makes me laugh. It doesn't email you to say there's a comment to moderate it. It emails you after you have moderated to tell you to moderate it. I do try to check it every day, so your comment will appear when I've checked it. Please do carry on with the reviews and comments. You can email me on caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. You can get me on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt. Join the Caithness Craft Collective group in there, please. But that's not an order. Well, it is. Get in there. Also on Seamed Up and Stitching Fingers. And on Twitter, Caithness Craft. The music, again, is Snow by the band Comfortable from musicalley.com, where you can go buy it. Thanks for listening, and keep on crafting.